Hey, I'm Mike.
Hey, I'm Ethan.
I watched the first half of For Your Eyes Only.
I watched the second half of For Your Eyes Only.
And this is the other half.
Watch till you can't.
For Your Eyes Only.
This song sucks, dude.
Yeah, it's not great.
I don't like this one at all.
It's not good at
this
all.
This one's not. It's not good.
Yeah, it's a bad song.
It's a bummer.
Yeah.
Also, kind of hard to really make a song out of this.
This
kind of,
like, phrase.
The phrase, yeah.
I understood because, like, I think it's kind of a clever play on words, right? Because it's James Bond is getting he's fallen in love yet again with somebody else, I believe. But it's also the idea of, like, oh, you can look at these documents. You know, they're for your eyes only. Like, I understand the point of it, but yeah, that's. I think they should have done a thing that they did with one of the previous ones where they just, like, have the title and then the song is, like, not based off the title. Like, it's this whole other thing.
Yeah, I think they did that a couple times.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's smart to do that. I don't know why they chose to be, like...
We're going to really commit to For Your Eyes Only.
We're going to commit to it, yeah.
Yeah, I know. I know we get really hard on these intros, guys, and I'm sorry about that, but this is not that good of a song.
Listen, every time we log in... Turn on another James Bond movie. We're always faced with an intro, and we always got to think, is this a good one?
Is this a good... What has been your favorite so far? What's the one that stuck with you?
Oh, God. I mean, Diamonds Are Forever is probably...
Yeah, that's a pretty good one.
That's kind of
Diamonds Are Forever!
Yeah, that one's really good.
One. Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. I like the...
Moonraker is pretty good, too.
What's that one?
Moonraker! Yeah, that was fun. I mean, it's all the ones by her. Like, I can't remember her name off the top of my head, but she's the GOAT, dude.
That's true. Cool. I still really like Live and Let Die, personally. But, you know, it's probably also just because I've heard it before.
Yeah, I think you have. I think you have.
Yeah, exactly.
You're biased. You're biased.
Well,
dude.
Do you want me to tell you about how the movie opens?
Let me guess. Okay, so there's a bunch of little white dots, and they go closer, and then a little, like, kind of, they're looking down the side of a gun barrel, right?
Whoa.
And it kind of comes out to the side,
so
and then a man's walking with it too.
A man. Yeah.
I think, and he turns. You're like, oh shit, it's James Bond. And he fucking shoots you, and there's blood coming down because
you're
dead.
Right about that. And then what happens after that?
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
It's always different.
It's
That's the part
they
always switched
That's
up.
What I was wondering. Yeah.
I don't know that part, but also, I got the first part.
You got the first part. The movie opens also with, like, big band. It's like very big band sounding
big
music.
Big band music is all over this movie.
And I think I know why. So the music was done by the guy who did the music for Rocky, Bill Conti.
Oh.
So I think it's got like a lot of, like, like brass.
Yeah. No, that absolutely lines up with how they kind of remixed the music in this.
A lot of it's fun and also can be cringe whenever you hear the 007 theme remixed with other, like, instruments.
I like it. I mean, at this point,
it can be good. It can be bad,
though.
Like, remember back when they did it all with, like, a Casio and synth? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's true. That wasn't very good.
No.
It did make it feel like, with the big band stuff, it made it feel like a sports team was going to pop out at any moment.
Yes, very much so.
It's like, no, it's just your old Roger Moore over here.
He's old. He's really getting up there now.
I don't think he was supposed to play this. Like, I think they're looking for a new actor at this point.
Yeah, I can understand it.
Said that he was not going to play Bond in an interview, and then they convinced him back to come back
with
and play
Moolah.
With Moolah, yeah.
He's looking really tired.
They actually interviewed Timothy Dalton. They tried to get him on, but he's like, I don't like the way the Bond direction's going.
I mean, he's not wrong.
It's hard to look at Moonraker and be like, yeah, I want to be a part of that series.
That. Yeah, exactly. Well, this movie opens with, in my opinion, one of the greatest openings of any fucking Bond movie I've ever seen.
All right, this is number, like, 12, I think, of the Bond movies, or 11th.
Jesus
I'm
Christ.
Very
we
excited.
We have watched too many Bond movies.
No.
So it starts out with Bond. He's in a graveyard, and he goes to his wife's grave, and he drops some flowers there.
Damn.
And on the grave, it says, "We have all the time in the world." On the gravestone.
Holy shit.
And then like a deacon or somebody that's, like, looking after the grave site, the graveyard, runs up to him and he's just like, "Mr. Bond, a helicopter's coming to pick you up. You know, you're needed immediately." And then the fucking helicopter just, like, lands in the middle of a graveyard, which feels weirdly disrespectful. And Bond just goes, like, jumps in the graveyard and he jumps in the helicopter and he looks out the window, and the deacon that mentioned it is just doing, like, the sign of the cross at him, like, very, like, were, like, menacingly, essentially.
Okay.
So he must be in on something.
So do you see Bond's face at all during all this?
Yes.
Okay.
Why?
Well, because I guess I was reading that, I guess, the title sequence, or the pre-title sequence for Your Eyes Only, is people were saying that it was shot to introduce a potential new Bond to audiences.
No.
Linking the, but I guess maybe that didn't end up.
Not at all.
Ending up that way. Okay.
No, not that I can.
Maybe they got rid of the actual one I'm reading about.
Well, you're thinking of, I think, about the animated intro, right?
Oh, maybe that is what they mean by pre-title.
Yeah.
But it's like, that's the title.
Those
sequel.
Are the titles. Yeah.
I don't know.
This intro is pretty.
Because this is the part before the title section.
Yeah, but you can. It looks.
Okay, maybe. I mean, I don't know. Maybe they wrote it, and it was different.
So he's in the helicopter, okay? And there's a guy piloting the helicopter, and he's sort of just flying around. And then they cut to Blofeld. Blofeld is in a wheelchair, and he's petting his little cat.
Okay.
Okay, and his neck's in, like, a brace. And then it's revealed that his wheelchair is hooked up to, like, controls for the helicopter.
Uh-huh.
He presses a button. Blofeld presses a button.
Uh-huh.
And the pilot of the helicopter just, like, gets electrocuted and dies.
He's still doing it.
And Blofeld's like, he was a lower person on the rung of my company. And now, Mr. Bond, you will die. And Blofeld, one, you never see his face. So
you know why.
Why?
They don't have the rights to Blofeld in this one. He's not actually Blofeld.
But he's got the cat.
He's got the cat. He's got everything like it.
That is very funny.
Yes.
Okay, this it is hysterical. They lost the like rights to the character?
John Glenn, the director of the movie, says he refers to the identity of the villain. We just let people use their imagination, draw their own conclusions. Mm. It's a legal thing. It was going to be originally identified as Blofeld, but was deliberately not named due to copyright restrictions from Kevin McClory, who owned the film rights to Thunderball.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes a bit more sense.
Yeah, but that's still funny how they're like, yeah, you know.
I mean, you know, it's a guy.
Austin Powers
it's a bald
also
guy.
Has the same thing, right? Yeah. You know who he is.
We know who he is. So he now has control of the helicopter via these like things. And Blofeld is so goofy. He's just like, you're flying air Blofeld or whatever. He's like, he's being a real fucking goof. Like he's having a great time just like messing with Bond. And Bond's in the back of the helicopter. There's like a wall of glass separating him from the controls. So he's at Blofeld's like bay. Like whatever Blofeld wants to do with the helicopter,
yeah,
Bond has to do. So Bond ends up having to like crawl outside of the helicopter, and he struggles to get to control of the helicopter. I wrote down there are some truly insane helicopter stunts. Like there's this one stunt that's crazy where you see the actor playing Blofeld in a wheelchair, and the helicopter just fucking flies right above him, and then in frame does like a crazy like UE, and then just flies right towards him again.
Whoa.
I'm like, insane shot. Like I'm assuming, like, yeah, maybe it was, like, a model in the wheelchair, right?
Yeah.
But you can clearly see an actual stuntman hanging outside of the helicopter as all of this is happening.
That's crazy.
Insane shit. So Bond eventually struggles and does end up getting inside of the helicopter and able to control it now. And so now that he's controlling a helicopter, he like presses a button or fucks with the controls and Blofeld's like control of the helicopters. They like electrocute him and he's just like, what's going on? Help Bond. And then Bond flies down with the helicopter. And you know how like helicopters have like the little like landing gear type
things? Yeah.
He uses those landing gears to grab Blofeld's wheelchair and pick him up.
Incredible.
Yes. And so he's just like, Bond, I'm sure we can make a deal, Bond. And so he's flying around like kind of like an industrial area. There's all these like giant like, structures and big, you know, like chimneys and, you know, like seeming like probably like where like energy comes from or something like
okay.
that. Right.
Sure.
Like an energy field.
Mm-hmm.
And so he picks up this guy in a wheelchair who's apparently not supposed to be Blofeld, which makes it even fucking funnier. Picks him up.
I mean, he is probably supposed to be. But
well,
yeah.
But it's even funnier if it isn't. It's funnier if it's just a guy in a wheelchair.
He's a random guy.
Because it's if somebody were to walk in at this moment and they just see like Bond pick up a poor, helpless guy in a wheelchair via helicopter and just like fly around with him out the outside of the helicopter. You're just like, Bond, let me down. Let me down. And then Bond's like, he says, essentially, very poor choice of words. And he drops him, and he drops the guy down like a chute.
Like okay, a giant, like a chimney?
Like a chimney, like a giant chimney. And this is in one shot. So you're seeing a helicopter, a guy in a wheelchair, and the wheelchair just, like, flies off of the,
whoa.
Like, gear and just falls down into this chimney. And the helicopter flies off, and the camera just flies over the chimney into the chimney, and then intro.
Oh, that's pretty
great.
Cool.
Great fucking opening.
That's pretty awesome.
Truly insane to watch a man in a wheelchair fall down a giant hole. It was amazing. I'm
all
like,
right.
Honestly, no matter what the movie does now, can't top it. The shit is incredible.
It's for your eyes only, Mike. I never got to see that.
I know. And you will have to see it at some point.
I will
it's truly the best. So, We get lady singing dead into the camera. Oh yeah, during this opening we have like, you don't often see this, but like an actual like person singing the song. You know, often it's just like people singing off camera and then you see crazy visuals. Here it's like person actually looking at the camera. Yeah. We see a lot of water and bubbles, a lot of Bond pointing guns at them, which is, it was kind of like made me laugh because it's like, you know, you see a silhouette of like a woman and you're like, that's just a woman. But then you see a silhouette of like a guy. My first instinct's like, well, it's probably Bond if he's wearing like a suit. But the only way to identify him seemingly is to have him holding a gun. You know, like pointing it.
Walter PPK, dude.
And so it's very funny to imagine, like, he's always just pointing at these, like, silhouettes of women. Like, he's trying to shoot them or something.
Yeah, yeah, there's a lot of that. I'm just like,
doesn't really work.
It's weird.
And then I get really excited because I see that Topol's in the movie.
Yeah, Topol's in the movie.
But not in my half of the movie. Aww. He's literally introduced at the end of my half of the movie.
Oh, okay.
And I was so upset because I could clearly see him in frame. Yeah. And I'm like, that's Topol. Yeah. That's the guy from, you know, that's the rich man from
Fiddler.
From Fiddler and the... one of the dudes from oh my god, Flash Gordon, you know?
Oh yeah, I forgot he's in Flash
Gordon. Yeah, but I don't really
forgot a lot about Flash Gordon, except that I was just like, this is a movie.
This sure is a movie.
Sure is a thing that they put budget into.
A lot of it. Yeah, go listen to our Flash Gordon episode, guys.
That was a crazy
listen
movie.
To us try to hit the note.
Flash!
Okay, so then we cut to a bunch of fishermen in the middle of the ocean, and this one guy, it looks just like a normal fisherman ship, like they're just like grabbing fish in nets and stuff.
Sure.
And there's this one guy that clearly doesn't belong in the fisherman ship because he looks clean. Okay. And he walks into the fisherman ship, goes down the stairs of the fisherman ship, you know, and goes inside of a secret hidden compartment inside of the ship, and it seems like under the ship is like a submarine.
Okay, sure.
Crazy.
All right, put submarines anywhere.
You can put submarines anywhere. So, and you know what? What am I bringing? Like, this is 007. Like, what are we talking about?
Yeah, what
are
you thinking? This is like we had a sub car in the last one. So,
exactly. So, we are introduced to ATAC or ATAC, which is a system that's the MacGuffin of the movie.
Ah, the MacGuffin. Okay, yeah, it's ATAC. Yeah.
It is automatic targeting attack communicator.
ATAC.
Okay. Sure. What does it do? Do you know what it does?
No fucking clue, man.
All right. I think it's bad. It's bad if anyone gets a hold of it.
I imagine, yeah, auto target communicator probably shoots down nukes or some shit like that.
Basically. I don't know. Something like that. But either way.
So you can start shoot nukes at other people and not get hit by yourself.
And it's in this, like, submarine. And then all of a sudden, one of the fishermen just, like, throws out, like, a line, like a net. To like get fish, and he ends up grabbing a giant like water mine and pulls the mine into the ship, and the ship blows up and everyone on the ship dies. And okay. There's supposed to be a self-destruct system for the attack system, but it's not a self-destruct system. It's a system where someone has to push a button to destroy it, but because everyone's drowning, no one can press the button. And so this system is still working and operational, but now under the ocean in international waters, but within the right, basically it's like outside of, you know, the good guys, the good US of A and British intelligence to be able to get it.
And they also probably don't know where it is.
They don't know where it is yet. They don't know where it is yet. So then there is a chance of retrieving it. The Russians have contacted someone in Greece to like look into where it might be. Okay. So then we're introduced to some guy, he owns a yacht. He has a talking parrot, and he has a daughter named Melinda.
Mm-hmm.
He also has a wife. And then a plane drops Melinda off, and Melinda's like, oh, my parents, I love you. I hope you live forever. And then the plane that dropped Melinda off just makes a big U-E, comes back, and just fucking opens fire. Yes. Killing her
imagine,
parents.
Like, they picked her up and was like, hey, so where do we go? We're going to pick up you. You're going to go drop me off at my parents. Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. Just want to know where they are.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Dropped him off.
All right.
I'm coming back now.
Yeah. And that's what happens. And then they all die. Melinda looks at them and she's very upset. She's very, very sad. And I'm kind of surprised because, like, dude just, like, opens fire on this yacht. The yacht does not sink. And I'm just like, I don't know. Like, you'd think it would pierce the hull or something, right?
Yeah, I guess that's true.
I don't know. Either way. Then we get Moneypenny. We're back in MI6 or whatever. And Moneypenny's looking in a mirror. It's a really cool, like, sort of thing where, like, she opens up a filing cabinet, and inside the filing cabinet is, like, a little section with makeup and a mirror, and so she's looking at the mirror, and she's writing herself for James Bond to show up, and in the background of her is the hat rack, and so she's, like, putting on lipstick, you know, doing her makeup, and then all of a sudden,
see a hat go.
Enter
they
and
bring
the
hat
back.
I feel like we haven't seen the hat bit in a bit.
He does not wear the hat, but he does like throwing that hat on the hat rack.
Well, I think this, from what I read, this is a, I mean, you can tell, I think, by just watching it, but like, they're really going back to their quote unquote roots.
The roots. It's so funny because
like, it's hard to come back from Moonraker, right? Like, you've got a space.
Remember when this used to be good, guys?
Remember when it was like a quieter movie? It wasn't just about like crazy bullshit.
Going to space.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. This is definitely going to be a lot more low key.
Low key.
You know, starting movie off open with a kind of wheelchair getting picked up by a helicopter.
Sean Connery had done the same thing.
Yeah, that's probably true. And but he wouldn't have said some goofy ass shit, which I'm going to get into this. This is going to be a new segment that we're doing.
Oh, the goofy shit that
that Bond says.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That Roger Moore says.
We're going to start. We're going to start doing a bit with that.
Okay.
So Bond comes in, throws a hat rack behind her. She mentions that M is away. And so the minister and the chief of staff are here, and they're the ones that sort of talk to Bond about what this is. Now, I know what you're about to say. The guy died.
Yeah. I was going to say, do you know why M's dead or gone or not in the scene?
Because he died.
Yeah. The Bernard Lee or whatever died of cancer. Like, I guess.
Right after the last movie, I think.
Yeah.
Right?
I was like, well, filming was starting on this, but he didn't film any scenes. Mm. And then, yeah, he passed away, unfortunately. Mm. So they were like, we're not going to recast him right away. We're just going to like rewrite him. So some other guy comes and tells Bond what to do. Because like, honestly, whatever. It's fine.
Like it makes sense, right? Because it's like this is a you know, national importance. So of course the chief of staff and prime minister are going to come.
It's always national importance, though, Mike.
That's true.
It's
when
always,
is it not national?
It's
importance?
Never not national importance.
I think I guess like trying to look into the Moonraker system is kind of nationally important.
Yeah.
So Bond must find the guy who flew the plane, whose name is Gonzalez, the guy that flew the plane and murdered that dude in Greece. Because the reason that Gonzalez, the guy that was flying the plane, killed those guys, killed Melinda's parents, is because the dad was looking into where the attack system was.
Oh, okay? Got it.
So that's what that was going on. So Bond has to go to Madrid, find Gonzalez, and figure out who hired him.
Interesting.
There we go.
So you don't want to go to Melinda? Is that her name? Or is it Melina?
Melinda. I don't think they've even mentioned Melinda, actually.
Interesting. She's the sole survivor. I guess she wouldn't know where it was. But yeah.
Or would he know? Would she even know? Because, yeah, I don't know what the
contract
was like.
I thought
like.
He would go there first, but no. I guess if you want to find the person who's killed her,
go
maybe,
straight
maybe
to the source.
You can figure out a little bit more. Okay,
yeah.
Sure.
So, so Bond ends up going to, where was it again? Madrid. Goes to Madrid to look into Gonzalez's whole thing. Gonzalez has this big, fucking awesome looking villa. Very cool looking, very chill. Mm-hmm. But he also has a bunch of women there and some henchmen. And
gotta have
the henchmen.
All, classic. You know you're evil when you got a big villa, women, and henchmen.
But it's very funny because it's like you have all these like scantily clad women by a pool, so all henchmen are just too distracted by like all the ladies by the pool to see James Bond like walking in and breaking in, which is pretty hysterical. And it's at this moment as Bond is like sneaking into the villa that Gonzalez is getting paid. By a man in glasses, dude, that we get to know a bit later.
I call him Winslow because he looks like Winslow from
Phantom of the
Paradise.
Yes, Winslow. His character's name is...
I never got in my half.
You never got in your half?
No.
Do you want me to give it to you? We'll just call him Winslow.
Sure.
I think Winslow's a better name. So yeah,
Winslow. Wait, what is his real name, though?
His real name is something fucking stupid. Emil. Is that his name? Emil? Where the fuck is it? I wrote
Emil.
It down somewhere. Emil... something something. He has like a three
Emil
name.
Emil Estevez.
Where the fuck is it?
I don't know. Well,
yeah, whatever. It's
well,
Emil something.
Okay, that's fine.
All right. So, sorry, my notes are kind of messy.
It's all right.
It's like I'm looking at Ethan's notes.
I know.
Right.
Well, this is for your eyes only, so I can't.
Is it for my eyes only?
Yeah.
That's right. Okay.
Hey, I rewrite my notes. Fuck you.
That's right. You do. Okay. So, other henchman immediately ambushes Bond. The henchman that's not looking at the scantily clad ladies by the pool, and immediately takes Bond's gun, and it takes him to Gonzalez, and Gonzalez is like, throw him in the brig, you know, fucking hate that guy. And so Bond is taken away, and just as Bond's taken away, Gonzalez is about to jump in the pool, and as he jumps in the pool, an arrow comes out of nowhere and fires right into his fucking back or stomach or something, and he dies immediately in the pool.
Oh, shit.
And so everyone's like, what the fuck happened? And it's obviously not Bond, because Bond's, you know, taken, you know, he's been taken away. You know, he has no fucking ability to shoot anybody with a bow and arrow. So this is enough distraction, however, for Bond to escape. And he comes across the person who killed Gonzalez, and it's Melinda.
Yeah. She got a crossbow, dude.
So she's like, she says she found Gonzalez through a detective agency. Okay. And I'm just like, what detective agency was able to find the guy who flew the plane that killed your parents? Like,
well, maybe they took the bullet holes as like samples. And
Gonzalez
then...
is known as like a pretty like dangerous dude. So I don't know. I'm just kind of
surprised.
Maybe
like finding him is different than going after him, right? Like, maybe you're like, oh, he lives there. We're not going to go to him.
Yeah, that's probably true. It's like, oh, yeah, the guy that murdered your parents, he lives in that big fuck off villa.
It's kind of obvious, dumbass. We're going to take your money, though.
You know that evil man that clearly only makes money from bad deeds?
Yeah.
That nobody goes to his house and returns alive.
Yeah.
So Winslow, the guy who paid Gonzalez, just sort of like watches Bond beat people up. Like, he doesn't really seem all that bothered. Uh-huh. The only thing he's worried about is his money, and so he just like he actually ends up taking the money back that he gave to Gonzalez, because now Gonzalez is dead. Like, there's no reason for him to have the money. So Bond goes to is running with Melinda back to his car. And the car that we saw previously, the white car.
Sure.
But the car is burglar protected, and so one of the henchmen go up to try to break into the car, and as he smashes the window open, the car fucking explodes.
Whoa! That's crazy. Imagine if, like, those Teslas had that shit on them.
I mean, I think they're blowing up anyway,
that's
right?
Fair, yeah. It was smash them enough, they do blow up, so.
It's the thing we mentioned before, where, like, it's a giant explosion, but they put, like, a dummy next to the car, and so
it feels even more impactful. Time. They need to do that. Like, they fucking CGI dummies now. No, they need to put like a regular dummy
just
in there.
Just a fucking rag doll. Maybe just a rag doll. Lighting on fire and flying in the
Nothing
air.
Nothing beats life's physics.
Some good shit. Yeah. Some good shit. So now they can't take Bond's car, so they have to take Melinda's car. And it's so annoying because he's like, let's use your car. And they go over to her car, and it's some ugly yellow car. And Bond immediately hates it. And even the music goes like, wah, wah, like as he looks at the car. Yeah.
This car sucks.
Look how stupid this car is. Everyone hates it. You know, it's like, no, it's fine. It's, and in fact, it actually helps. It helps them out, because then they are chased in this shitty little car. And for some reason, I don't know what kind of car it is. I'm not really a car guy, but it's able to withstand it like falling down hills, like tumbling down hills.
Okay.
So it's the two of them in the car, and the car is literally tumbling sideways, and it winds up on its like tires again, just drives off like no big deal.
Damn.
So it's pretty.
They don't make them like they used to.
They truly don't. So they're able to avoid the people chasing them. They end up getting away. Everything's fine.
I wonder if that is that way, because I think by then safety standards in cars might have been more where they're like starting to do the crumple thing, where your car starts to crumple.
It did
instead.
Look pretty crumpled. I'm like, there's no way that this thing's gonna make.
Oh,
it
I was gonna
further.
Say like this one probably wouldn't crumple because it's older, so they didn't have that kind of they
maybe
you,
that's what it is
when
yeah.
you get hit by those cars you just die instantly because
it's also,
you know.
Probably a car built for these stunts,
yeah, maybe,
right?
Yeah, that's true.
So she says that she is a Greek woman, and Greek women always revenge their loved ones, and he says that those who seek revenge must dig two graves.
He says that later too.
Yeah.
It's very silly.
And so then Bond...
Although like it's funny because he had such a long stint. I mean, this is the same Bond, right?
Mm-hmm.
He was trying to go after Blofeld so many times, like trying to kill him. Like there was one movie, I can't remember which one exactly. Because we watched 12 of them.
Yep.
Where he like got off the mission just to kill Blofeld.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But he says it's an old Chinese proverb or something like that. Okay. It's like, yes.
Fucking
007,
woke,
the guy
woke
who...
Bond now.
I was gonna say, he clearly appreciates all forms of culture.
Yeah.
So Bond ends up going back to MI6, and they're like, hey, why don't you use the identograph that Q has? And it's like a Sims character creator, like a 2D Sims character creator. That's literally what it looks like. And they end up finding who it is. It's like he's got darkish or like lightish brown hair, and he's got and kind of actually like your color.
Shut up.
And then he's like,
you said it was brown though, right?
Well,
okay, so yeah, I was right.
Is.
Okay, it was good.
That's
you
what
got,
you say
good.
It is.
Okay,
exactly.
Yeah, okay, got it.
And yeah, it's the guy Winslow that we're trying to identify.
Yeah, he's got brown hair.
There you go. So they end up matching him. Ah, there's his full name, Emil Leopard Locke.
He's
Leopold Locke, not Leopard. Emil Leopold Locke. Sorry. Emil the Leopard.
Ooh,
Locke.
Sexy.
No.
Gonna pounce on you. Meow.
So in this scene also, when we see the identograph, we're also seeing a bunch of Q's inventions. So now we're gonna play a little game called Guess Q. Q's invention.
Yay!
Now here's how this is gonna go. Okay, I am going to read what Bond says about the invention.
Okay,
like his like little
cute, oh his quip.
His quip.
Oh,
I'm gonna read his quip, and you're gonna have to tell me what the invention he's quipping about. Exciting. Is. Okay, so he walks in. This is the first invention. He walks in. Mm-hmm. He looks at this invention, and then he says, "Oh, that'll come in handy."
It's like a thing that shoots out a big gripper hand and it grabs something.
Oh, that's pretty good. You're not close, but you're close-ish. You've picked up on what the thing is, which is hand. Uh-huh. What it is, it's a guy wearing a cast, and then when you press the button, the cast is spring-loaded and it flies out and smashes people's faces.
That's pretty good.
Okay, so you got the first one.
Uh-huh.
Okay, now here's the second one, second and last one, but there's going to be an ongoing thing.
We're going to keep doing this.
All right, next one. He says, "Huh. Stinging in the rain." What could he be referring to when he says stinging in the rain?
Stinging in the rain.
Stinging in the rain. What is the invention that Q has created?
It's got to be an umbrella with a little pointing thing at the end.
Ding, 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 ding. You got it. Yes. You pretty much got it.
Yes.
It's an umbrella that when you press a button, it closes down like a bear trap.
All right. I'm glad I got the umbrella part. As long as I get like the object, right? Or like an object or something about it.
You figured out what the object is. You figured out that there's going to be like a pointy thing on it. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Guess Q's invention. There we go. Good job, Ethan.
Thank you. Not too bad. Ooh, feeling good about that.
I figured we needed to throw a bit more, you know, because when we were doing all the Rocky movies, we were like, oh yeah, how does Uncle Polly die? We don't really have that for these movies.
No.
But now that we've watched enough of them.
Can't do how does M die. It's too sad.
We also don't want M to die. He's just a businessman just trying to keep his workers happy, you know? Mm-hmm. Anyway, so now Bond goes to a snow resort. It's a chalet because he's looking for Winslow.
Uh-huh.
And there's a message left for him on his bathroom mirror, which tells him to go meet someone at a ski slope. So he goes to the ski slope and he meets up with a guy named Luigi.
Oh, yeah.
And Luigi's like, I'm going to have you meet this other guy named Eris. So we've got a lot of meeting going on here.
Well, Eris? What the fuck? Final Fantasy?
Yeah.
Okay.
Eris Christatos or something? Wait, you know who Eris is?
No, never mind. Continue
on. Okay, fine. So,
Christatos or whatever his name is.
Christatos, exactly. He's got kind of like a beard. He's old looking.
He's
bald. So follow me here. Bond goes to the chalet, goes into his room, sees a message from Luigi, meets Luigi at the ski slope, and Luigi says, we're going to have you meet this guy named Christatos at an ice rink.
Okay.
And he's going to tell you information about Winslow.
Okay.
So he goes to meet Christatos and immediately off to a bad start. I think we're supposed to like Christatos. I think we're supposed to trust him because he gives information about Winslow and eventually he talks about Columbo or the dove. Just one more thing.
Yeah, Columbo.
I'm a bad guy. but at first, the first thing we learn about Christatos is he has a protege, a figure skating protege named BB.
Yeah. BB.
And he calls BB innocent in ways of the world. And I'm like, like that. I'm like, don't tell Bond that. Like, I'm immediately like, how is Bond gonna fuck this up?
You'll have to see.
I don't like two men. It's funny because it's like right at the beginning, like this is how you first learn like about this. Like imagine like walking up to somebody like a lunch or whatever, like, you know, like a business meeting.
Yeah.
And the guy that you're meeting is like, oh, look at that young lady over there. She's innocent in the ways of the world. She's my favorite student. I'm just like, I'm good. I don't want to talk to this guy.
This guy anymore.
But we're supposed to like him. And we also learned that BB has a big old crush on James Bond.
Aww.
She's big, very infatuated with him. So already I'm like, I don't like this relationship. Also, her name's like BB, which sounds way too close to like baby. And she's supposed to be like innocent
she's
and like
very,
young.
Like naive and
I don't
silly.
Like it.
She, you know, I guess she won Worst Actor or something for this.
Okay. I'm not going to go that far. I actually thought she was pretty okay.
Yeah, I didn't hate her either. I think the thing is she
was. We've had way worse actors in these movies.
I think. She's just a little annoying. And so men are like, worst actor ever.
Oh, but does she like, do more?
She's more. She's in the movie more.
Oh, but I didn't know she was. I thought she was going to die immediately.
No.
Okay, fine. So after talking about BB, what's it called? Christatos talks about Columbo or the dove. He's a bad guy. You know, he's a bad guy because he's not only does he like do drugs and stuff like that. Like he's in the drug
training,
business.
Yeah.
But he's done white slavery, which is the worst kind of slavery is.
White slavery.
Yeah. And they say that Columbo is somewhere in Greece.
I told you this is woke Bond, dude.
Woke Bond. He's like, white slavery.
White slavery.
He's like, well, that's not that bad.
I edit my chatbot to make it say that. It doesn't happen. It does happen. I don't remember anymore.
I don't know what happens. So Bond then sees Melinda after this meeting. He sees her in the town, basically. And so he follows her. And there's this really cute thing where he is following her and he doesn't want her to see him. So he goes in a flower shop and he's like, can I get a couple of some flowers, please? And the lady's like, yeah, sure. And then he looks out the window and sees that Melinda is getting accosted by these guys on motorcycles.
No.
So he runs out of the shop to the motorcyclists and immediately hits them over the head with big pieces of wood. And one of the motorcyclists flies into the flower shop and he looks in the flower shop and the flower shop lady's there with the flowers. And he says, have it delivered to this guy's funeral.
Oh my God.
Which is pretty great. So after all this, he ends up rescuing Melinda, and then Bond is like, Melinda, what are you doing here? Melinda's like, well, I got a telegram from you telling me to meet you here. And he's like, I didn't send a telegram. So obviously this is the work of Winslow or Columbo or somebody he's trying to get Melinda here. And so he's like, we need to take you to the train station and have you leave. And she's like, no, I must avenge my parents.
Yeah, dude.
They're having this conversation in the back of a horse-drawn carriage. And he's like, she's like, I must avenge my father's death. She keeps forgetting about her mom. She never really brings her mom up all that much. She's really obsessed with
her
dad.
She might have hated her mom. You never know. You don't know the relationship.
That's
maybe
true.
It's her stepmom.
Maybe it's her stepmom. Who knows?
We never know because she died pretty quickly.
We don't know anything about it. Don't know her name.
Yep.
And so Melinda's like, I must avenge my father. And he says, your father put his life on the line in order to, protect the world, and he's like, I'm sure he would want you to be safe as well. He wanted you to be safe. That's why he did the things he did. So this eventually chills
safe
her out.
Safe in my arms.
So eventually this actually chills her out. And she's like, all right, I'm going to go back home, but you need to figure this out immediately. Because if you don't figure this out, if you don't kill whoever is responsible for this, I'm going to kill them. I can't just sit around forever and wait. So she returns to safety. Bond returns to his room and he sees that someone is using his shower.
Ooh.
So he pulls a little gun. He's walking up to the shower. Who is it?
Topol.
Topol. He's like, hey, if I were a naked man. And he's shaking his dick around.
Yeah, he's in a helicopter. And Bond picks him up with the helicopter and then picks up a guy in a wheelchair and then throws him into a...
And then he drops him on the top of a building and he says, I'm naked on a roof.
Exactly.
There you go. No, it's BB.
Ah.
And so she walks out of the shower and falls into bed. She's completely naked.
Uh-oh.
And she says, I'll do anything for you. And I'm like, I do not like where any of this is going. And then he's actually like, no.
Wow.
He's like, no, I don't want to do that.
Well, he likes a little chase. Bond likes a little chase. He likes seduction. When they're throwing themselves at him, he's like, I'm kind of good with that.
That's true. Yeah, that's
it's a little weird.
I think it's, I don't know what it is, but he's very much like, I don't want to do that.
Uh-huh.
And then she says, I think he says something like, your uncle wouldn't be too pleased about that. Or whoever the person is.
Yeah, yeah.
The guy.
Christoph.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And she says, oh, he still thinks that I'm a virgin. And then he's like, all right, I'll buy you some ice cream. Get your clothes on.
How fucking humiliating.
Yeah, I know.
You
right?
Throw yourself this guy and they're like, I'll buy you some ice cream. I mean, to be fair, he's like double her age, probably.
That's never stopped him before.
That's true.
Yeah. But at this point, it's weird. So BB and Bond end up going skiing together and they see a German guy who's really good at skiing. What's up?
Is that the ice cream? Just going skating? Skiing?
It is kind of funny to imagine getting someone ice cream when it's really fucking cold out.
I love ice cream when it's cold, but yeah, I do think the stereotype
exists.
Wow. I mean, no, that's me personally. I like ice cream when it's cold.
You like, really?
I want to feel cold outside
and
inside.
Do you get
fill me up, bro.
You're really starting to sound like BB over here.
fill me moose tracks. Oh, inside and out. Rubbing it on myself. It's like the Predator. I can't be seen because like I'm covered in boost tracks.
Yeah, by like heat signatures because you're so cold on the inside of the outside. So they end up going skiing together, and BB talks about some other guy that she's infatuated with. A guy who's really good at skiing and shooting. His name is Eric.
Okay.
Does he ever come up later? He's like a dude from Germany.
No.
He's got like a really strong jaw.
Nope.
All right. Well, there you go.
Not at all. It's just very funny to be like, well, you're done. I'm going to talk about this other guy who I think is cute.
It is funny because I think she's also doing this to like get him like jealous. Like, I think that's sort of like the point.
He doesn't care.
Yeah. So Bond's like, all right, BB, I got to go. I've got an appointment. But I also don't know where he's going. He just sort of like skis through the forest. But then Eric follows him. He also says something like, BB, don't grow up. The opposite sex couldn't take it. I'm just like, what does that mean? Like, is he saying like it when you get older, like
you're gonna be a menace?
I don't know.
Maybe.
I don't know. It's really strange. I don't know.
Interesting take.
I don't know.
Should've kept that comment in your pocket.
I agree. So but it does feel a bit like something from The Room, right?
Yeah, it does.
It's like, oh, don't grow up, Danny. The opposite sex couldn't take it.
Absolutely right.
That's what it feels like. So Bond's just sort of skiing through the woods by himself. Eric follows him and just starts immediately opening fire on him.
Whoa.
And it's funny because immediately before this, we see him and he's a really good shot. He's got a great accurate shot. But right now, he does not shoot Bond once. Like,
is he Russian at all?
Is he Russian or is he dragon?
Ugh.
What does he look like?
I don't know. I'm just thinking there was like a Russian guy in my half and I didn't know if maybe it was the same guy.
Mm.
Let me look.
Does he have a strong jaw?
He kind of does. But
then
I'm
I think
like,
it might be him.
It might be. I'm going to double check.
It's probably him. Because this guy doesn't die in my half of the movie. And he seems to really not like Bond. So.
Oh, yes. No,
it's
I
him?
Do see this guy. Yeah.
Okay. So we now learn that Eric is working with Winslow and the bike guys from earlier. And Bond needs to escape from them because he doesn't have a gun. I think this is probably a thing that Roger Moore did a lot of because he doesn't like guns. This is something we learned. He always shoots the tires. He like does shoot people, but it's pretty rare. And then more often than not, when you know he does have a gun, it's usually like fired out of his hand or drops it or something, you know?
Yeah.
Like, so he has to like think differently.
So we've been watching a lot of James Bond movies, and I was like, well, GoldenEye is on the Switch, like it's just like one of the things you get. And yes. I downloaded it, I played it, and I was like, man, you're just mowing down motherfuckers. Roger Moore would never do this.
Roger Moore would not appreciate
this. Like, in the first, like, mission, you kill at least, like, 50 people.
Well, I remember we had Chris on, and he was mentioning how many people James Bond killed.
And it was a high number. And
but
said,
I do wonder, like, if we were to go, we should have asked him this, if he was able to calculate it by Bonds. Like, if, like, Roger Moore was Bond for the longest at this point, but had he killed people?
He might have the less.
With guns, with like shot, I guess.
Yeah,
that's the other
guns.
Question. Because like James Bond's definitely killed people by like throwing them off of buildings. Like Roger Moore has killed people.
Yeah,
but like with guns?
George Lansenby like fucking murdered a whole bunch of
people. He murked people.
Like, all with that gun, so I don't know.
So anyway, so right. he doesn't have a gun. So he needs to evade, you know, Eric, Winslow and everybody else. So he ends up getting in an elevator to get up to like the top of a big ski jump, and they see him and follow him.
Okay.
And so he's at the top of a ski jump, and he looks down at the bottom of the ski jump, and he sees Eric and a bunch of the bike guys, and behind him is Winslow, and so he's basically cornered. Mm-hmm. There's nowhere for him to go. Right.
Right.
He's at the very top of the ski jump. He either stays up there and gets killed by Winslow, or he skis down and gets shot by Eric.
Okay.
How does he get out of this?
He gets a cast, and then he says it's pretty handy, and he shoots it off. No, I have no idea.
He goes down at the same time as another guy, and then uses him as like body, like
A meat shield.
As a meat shield, and ends up confusing Eric, and it actually ends up working, and he ends up skiing away from them. It works. He ends up actually like evading them.
He does use other people a lot as like a distraction.
That's true. So now a ski chase is occurring where there's Eric on there's two guys on a motorcycle. Eric is skiing and Bond is obviously skiing as well, trying to get away from them. Yes.
How much green screen is used in the ski?
Not too much.
Really?
I wrote down.
Well, it was the 80s. Technology's improved.
Because I remember we mentioned this, how like it's really hard to get, you know, like a reaction shot of Roger Moore skiing without having a rear screen projection. I will say too, you keep saying green screen. It's not a green screen. It's a rear screen projection.
Okay. Same thing.
No, it's not.
It's the same thing. It's the same principle.
It is a similar principle.
They're just fucking, instead of doing green in the back and doing it digitally, they just project it on a wall.
Yes, that's
right. It's the same thing.
Just people watching these movies, it was not green screen. It's clearly a screen projection because the lighting and the background is a lot darker than the lighting of like Roger Moore in the front.
It's shitty green screen.
It's shitty green screen.
Without the green.
They do some of this. They do. I'm not going to say it's like not there. And whenever they do it, it does take you out of it a bit. But most of it is done like on real skis, and it looks really good. As I wrote down, rear screen projection to a minimum. There's this one part near the very end where he's on skis, obviously, and he jumps in a luge, and then Eric is also on a motorcycle.
This is the same fucking shit that was in the George Lansenby movie.
What, the luge?
Yeah, he's on a luge at the end there.
Ooh.
So it's like, I feel like I'm seeing the same movie again.
Seeing double.
Yeah.
It's been so long. Nobody even remembers Lansenby, you know?
That's true. He's a distant blink of the eye.
Exactly. A distant blink of the eye.
I don't know. Because I remember they capped him off afterwards. They brought Sean Connery back again. So
that's right.
It's like Roger Moore.
Nobody even
remembers
that one.
Lansenby's erased.
So they're racing down a luge. Bond is able to just barely escape Eric. It all works out. Everything's fine. He's fine. And he returns to the chalet. And he goes to see BB at her practice. And he's trying to, like, ask her about Eric. Like, what information does she know about Eric? And she doesn't really say too much. But her coach does seem to go, like, BB, we need to get out of here now. Like, as if the coach doesn't want BB to, like, reveal too much about plans.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, maybe she's in on something as well.
She knows some stuff.
She does have an accent. And in most movies, if a person has an accent, you probably can't trust them.
Not that James Bond was
not
a British
James
accent.
Bond, British accent. That's different. Yeah, okay. So they end up leaving, and all the lights start like getting a little bit low, and then these hockey players come out to play on the ice that BB was just practicing on. And then all of a sudden, all the lights turn off, and they all start fighting Bond in their like hockey gear.
It's boot time. Someone kicked his ass.
And this is pretty funny because it's like he's completely unprotected. He doesn't have skates. Like, how is he going to be able to protect himself? But he ends up actually like fighting them off. And whenever he like beats them up, he throws them into a net. And when he throws them into a net, the scoreboard changes. And then the very last thing he does, which is my favorite part, is there's one guy left. And James Bond jumps on a Zamboni and hits him with the Zamboni and just fucking like annihilates him.
That motherfucker's dead.
Doesn't like crush him, but like that man is dead. Like his skull is definitely fucking crushed against the weight of the Zamboni. It's pretty great. So Bond is like, fucking Christ, that was scary. And he leaves practice and he's trying to like find Luigi. And Mamma Mia, Luigi's dead.
Oh no.
His throat is slashed, and in his hand he finds a pin of a dove.
Ooh.
Yeah, so the dove was behind all this. Columbo was behind all this. So Bond goes to hang out with, I don't know what's going on with Bond. He's just like, well, that was pretty scary. Let's go hang out with Melinda. So he just leaves the chalet. Leaves all that behind and is like, I'm gonna go hang out with Melinda. So he goes to hang out with Melinda, and they just like go shopping together all day.
Really?
Yes.
No information, just hanging out?
No, just hanging out the entire day, just like going shopping, looking at people dancing. Okay. Just like having a nice little vacay.
Okay.
And then that night, that eventually
you need to cool down, you know.
Eventually that night, she talks about her dead dad again. And I'm just like, a lot of dead dads in these movies. Like a lot of like ladies who have like daddy issues, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, there's this. You know, there's other ones.
There's other ones. Yeah. I can remember all of them.
It happens a lot.
Yeah.
What was that one where, like, the lady died? The lady's dad was, like, the pilot. And, you know, he was, like, under the water, remember? Like, he was the fighter pilot. There's that one, too. There's a lot of ladies.
Yep.
There's a lot of ladies who have dead dads. And it really does feel a sort of a thing like, man, when she's got daddy issues,
she's kind of hot. She's kind of hot, dude.
And maybe it's also a thing because like James Bond is so much older than them too. Yeah. So it's like maybe that's the other thing. It's
it's kind of hard when you're like Bond's like 48 years old.
It's a weird like Electra complex. He's not 48 years old. I think he's older than that. I think he's like in his like 50s.
Really?
At this point.
He's old.
He's old. I think he was 48 when he started playing James Bond.
You might be right.
So ends up she's talking about her dad. And then he's like, don't worry, Melinda, I'm going to meet a guy at a casino who might be a lead. So yeah. How old was he? You're looking it up right now.
First Bond, Roger Moore is 45.
He was 45 at the first, in the first movie.
Yeah, in the last movie he's in, he's 40. He's 57.
Yeah, so
he's probably in his 50s then. Yeah, you're
right. Probably in his early 50s at this point. So yeah, so Bond's like, I have a lead. I'm gonna meet a guy in a casino to figure out about this stuff about your dad or whatever. Fucking Melinda, who gives a shit?
Yeah.
So he goes to the casino and we meet Bunky and the Contessa. Do you ever meet Bunky or the Contessa?
No, I feel like you just made these characters up. That's just screw with me.
Bunky and the Contessa is like my
favorite new band.
Yes. Yeah, Bunky and the Contessa. Yeah. Let me describe Bunky and the Contessa.
Uh-huh.
There's Bunky, okay, who is this like obese man with a lazy eye.
Okay.
And the Contessa, who's this like gorgeous looking woman who's only into this guy because he gambles.
He's rich, dude.
And it's funny because he's a good gambler. And then she's like, Bucky, what are you doing? Put down all of your money. Like, why don't you bet all of your money on this? And then he does it. I'm just like, don't get in on Bucky's thing. Like, Bucky knows what he's doing.
Clearly, yeah.
Yeah, so the Bucky and the Contessa are playing against Bond. And even though the odds are against Bond, he ends up winning.
Damn.
Yeah.
He's so good.
Per usual, he ends up beating Bunky.
I can't believe Bunky. I'm never going to remember this guy again.
Bunky and the Contessa.
If you bring up Bunky like 3 months from now,
you're not going to know who Bunky is. I'm like, remember that like bigger guy who had a lazy eye in the 007 movies? No. You know, he was in Half You Didn't See.
He was in Half You Didn't See.
Remember Bunky? Well, I'm sure you remember the Contessa.
You never forget the Contessa.
Bunky and the Contessa would have been a better name for this movie.
I would have loved that.
Bunky and the Contessa.
He's got a lazy eye. She's hot as hell.
She is nagging at him.
And he is gambling again.
Bunky will blow you away.
The Contessa will blow you too.
Anyway. So Bond ends up meeting up with, what's his fucking name? Eris? His last name is Conquistador.
Conquistador.
The fuck is his name? Christofferson.
Christophs or something.
Whatever. So he ends up meeting with them. They're having dinner together at the casino. And he thinks that Bond is looking into Columbo because Columbo's like in the drug trade, basically.
Yeah.
And he's just like, Bond, you can't arrest this guy. He's too powerful. Only way to stop him is by killing him.
Yeah.
He says it to him. And Bond is like, all right, well, where is he? And he says, he's right over there. And then my scene ends. I can't watch the rest of the movie.
You can't even see him.
No.
Well, all I hear is that Bond is learning about this Australian mistress that he has, or that this guy has.
Columbo?
Columbo has.
You got it.
And it turned out that, like, Columbo gets in a fight with this lady, the lady he's talking to,
uh-huh,
and walks off. And he goes to like his little secret area and like listens and hears that, like, that's exactly what Bond said. I have to kill, or the other guy says, like, you have to kill him. And he's like, oh, okay. He doesn't even say like yes. He's just like, okay.
Oh, okay.
Like, okay. Where is he anyway? So now he knows that like Bond is something
Bond's
not to be trusted. Yeah. So
Bond is not to be trusted.
Yeah. Columbo's not down with him.
Of course not.
Anyway, so the lady, the mistress, is upset because, Columbo pissed her off and he poured her drink on him and all that stuff. And
uh-huh.
Bond's like, oh, you seems like you're alone. You need to drive home.
Right.
He's like, she's like, yeah, all right, I'll get a taxi with you or whatever. And he's like, oh, yes, I'm a writer. I write about Greek smugglers. Do you know anything about that? Because, you know, she knows
Columbo. That's right.
And she says, well, do I know anything about smuggling? What do you mean? I don't know anything. And he says, well, a lady in your position may know. And he says, I'd be grateful for any information. She's like, ooh, I adore grateful men. And then the little cabbie guy drops him off. And he's like, well, I'll see you in the morning. She's like, no, why don't you come in for oysters and wine.
You know, oysters are
aphrodisiac.
Gross.
Yeah, that too. It's like slurping a salty, salty, slimy little slug.
Yeah, they're an aphrodisiac, but they're so gross to like consume.
You just want
to
fuck someone instead. You put anything in your mouth after that.
You know, wash this out with something.
Yeah,
let
something.
See.
Let me see. What do I got around here? Put my mouth on. Well, Bond tells the chauffeur, I won't need you anymore tonight. the chauffeur leaves. So they're hanging out in robes in their like little conversation pit thing. Mm. And she's like, oh, my nightie's slipping. And he says, oh, so is your accent. She's like, oh. And then discovers that she's not Australian. She's like somewhere in the UK.
Mm. I mean, Australian is a pretty hard accent.
It's pretty hard even for someone who's, you know, UK.
Crikey, mate.
But he's like, what did Columbo say to you? Obviously, she wanted me to get with you.
Uh-huh.
And she's like, oh, well, you know, he said you were a spy and I should find out more about you. And then he's like, oh, you can find out a lot about me. And they start making out.
Woo!
And he spills a drink on her couch. And I'm like, how dare you? But she doesn't care.
I mean, it's not her couch. They're at like a casino hotel, right?
No, they're actually like this little bungalow. They like drove out because they drove away.
Oh.
It's her home, I think.
Oh, wow. Okay, yeah, okay.
That's what
okay.
the chauffeur was doing.
Okay, got it. That makes more sense.
Yeah, in the morning, chauffeur, yeah. She's like, oh, when you're ready to leave, you can take my car. And he's like, oh, okay, because, like, he got dropped off.
Right.
But then they're walking around the sand because they're by, like, a beach bungalow.
Mm-hmm.
And some
That's where bungalows usually are.
Dune buggies come out of nowhere, and they start running towards him, and they're trying to kill Bond. And they try to run and escape, and he shoots the tires off one of them.
Ooh.
But then Lucelle, who is the Australian lady.
Oh, okay.
Or fake Australian lady, gets fucking run over by one of the dune buggies.
Dies instant.
Instantly. And oh, man. Bond gets captured with Bond electric guitar music. It's the 80s, baby. Electric guitar. And then, like, you're like, oh shit, Bond's captured. But then dudes come out of nowhere and they fucking shoot some of the guys who are trying to capture Bond.
Who are these dudes?
I don't know. I was very confused by all of this. What the fuck? But then he goes over the countess and she's dead.
The Contessa.
Is this the Contessa?
Maybe
it's the same person. No, it's the same lady. Or maybe it is a Contessa. No, I don't think so.
What was she wearing?
Oh
yeah,
she's wearing a red.
Looking at her face.
Yeah, I'm being respectful. Like, my eyes are up here
for your eyes only.
Exactly. So she's dead. He's like, "Oh damn, that sucks." And then
didn't even get to bang her.
I just realized that they zoomed in on these little doves on these guys who saved him.
Oh, there you go.
But then they fuck them, knock them out, and I'm like, "What is happening?" I thought this was like people who are actually trying to save him, but no.
No.
He wakes up and he sees Columbo there.
Mm.
Columbo gives him a little talk. He is in his like.
How is Topol in this?
Oh, he's
as a
so fun.
Oh,
so
I'm
fun.
Loving this. I'm loving this. I wish I'd seen this.
He's a cool guy. He says, "I smuggle." Listen. I smuggle. It's true. But I don't do heroin. I don't do any drugs. I don't do anything like that. But I do smuggle things mm-hmm. that are illegal. But, you know, I'm not anything that you should worry about. I'm actually, there's someone far worse you should worry about besides mm-hmm. me who's actually causing you the trouble. I'm just a guy. I'm just yeah. a guy here. By the way, during this moment.
I'm just a simple drug smuggler.
he's not a drug smuggler.
What does he do?
He smuggles other things.
Oh, okay.
Tomatoes.
Oh, he doesn't do
animals.
Drugs at all?
No, he says no heroin. Maybe he does other drugs. Maybe he does like lighter
when he
drugs.
Said no heroin, I thought it was like he doesn't do it. Like,
no, he doesn't smuggle heroin.
Got it. Okay.
He doesn't touch his supply.
Yeah, exactly.
But this is really funny because Bond's sitting there and he's thinking of a question. And then the camera like cuts like a YouTube video. Like it doesn't move. And you see him in a different
like a
position
YouTube
and he keeps talking. It's the only way I can describe it. I've never seen a cut like this in a movie
okay.
where they literally have the actor, Roger Moore, sitting there and being like, yeah, okay. And he cuts, and he's over here, and he's like,
oh,
all right, I'm going to talk about
like a
this.
Jump cut.
It's a jump cut, but he's in the same spot.
Yeah, that's a jump cut.
What do you mean?
A jump cut is like supposed to be like, for most of filmmaking was bad filmmaking, where like nothing moves, like the background doesn't move, but the characters are moving, and it immediately takes you out of the flow of the film, right?
I didn't know it had a name.
Yeah, jump cut.
It was I called it a mistake.
No, so like that was during the French New Wave. They would use jump cuts purposefully in order to like get you to, you know, not get too invested in the actual like events of the film so that you would actually be at like an arm's distance. You know, they were trying to like experiment with it. So you see jump cuts sometimes. This doesn't sound like a very good one.
No,
though.
This is not a good
yeah,
one. It seemed
like
a mistake more than
yeah.
anything.
Anyway, yeah, that's a jump cut.
Interesting. Hmm. Yeah. Okay, learn something new. So then,
it's only taken 500 episodes of the podcast.
This is the first time I've learned anything off this podcast, is what a jump cut is. Anyway, so it looks bad. But then he's like, listen, I'll take you to the real smuggler. He's in Albania tomorrow. He's a real scary guy.
Mm.
And he actually pulls out a gun and he points it at Bond and then he gives it to Bond and is like, listen, I think you have thrasos. Which we in Greece say it means guts.
Mm.
And Bond points the gun at him and says, so do you. And they're like, ah, listen.
They're good buds
tomorrow,
now.
If you don't tell me, show me who this guy is, I'm going to have to kill you. And he's like, ah, by tomorrow, we'll be best friends. It'll be great.
This is literally me and you talking to each other.
Yeah, that was weird when I first met you to pull out a gun
on
me.
I pulled a gun out, but then I gave it to you.
And I was like, oh, sick. And then I pointed at you. And I was like,
you threatened me.
Yeah, I threatened you. Yeah. I was like, hey, man, you better fucking send me that Venmo request. And I put it out on the ground. You're like, yeah. We were friends after that.
This shit rocks.
It was cool.
I love this.
I like this. So then Columbo gets his men, and they all go invade a smuggling boat with glasses guy, with the Winslow glasses guy.
Yeah.
He runs away. They try to capture him. They take over this other boat with the bad guys in it, and they start rolling things over. They go to this like warehouse, and there's these big barrels, and they have a little shootout in there, and one of the barrels bursts, and like Columbo tastes it, and he goes, ooh, raw opium. And then, which, by the way, this guy doesn't deal drugs.
But he knows.
But he knows.
Yeah.
He doesn't do it anymore, maybe.
Yeah.
So then they actually like start untying these big, massive barrels, and they start crushing people with them.
Whoa, that's awesome.
But the Winslow guy keeps running away. But then Bond notices that like he's like putting a wire and walking away with a wire. And Bond's like, oh, shit, get your men out of here.
Mm.
So that they all run away. And then Winslow puts the plunger down and blows up the entire opium stores and then drives off.
Damn. Everyone so learned. He just like hooked up all these explosives to it originally.
Yeah. I don't know if it was originally he was doing it as he was running away. Because they were kind of like hiding and doing like cover tactics. It wasn't like they were taking some time in there.
Right.
So then Bond tries to cut him off while running. This guy, Winslow, has a car. And he's driving around these little teeny tiny Greek streets, so tiny. And Bond eventually does cut him off and shoots the tire. And the car rolls and goes to the edge of a cliff on the edge. So the car is teetering on the side of it.
Right. I've seen these sorts of things before.
Yeah. And Bond shows up. And he says, you left us with Ferrara, I believe. And he throws it at him. And I think it's that
Luigi guy.
Is the Luigi guy. Yeah, he threw it at him.
And that's enough weight to send it flying over the zone.
I thought it would be. I was like, oh, I thought that's what it was going to be. That'd this little be cool. Teeny tiny thing.
I'm embarrassed.
But no, and then he just fucking kicks the car off the edge.
Whoa! Okay, they can do that too. Yeah, that's
which
fine.
Which apparently Roger Moore was not happy with this. He's like, this is not how I would do it with Bond. Like, this is too mean.
Yeah, I think the throwing of the thing and then that being just enough like weight.
But apparently they did it in the end because I think they might have thought that like that went too real, unrealistic and goofy. But I'm like, I don't know.
Oh yeah, there's definitely never been anything unrealistic or goofy in these Roger Moore Bond movies.
Not this one, at least. This one is a little more grounded, I feel, than some of the other ones.
The movie opens with a man in a wheelchair being picked up by a helicopter and tossed down a giant.
Oh. All could happen.
I suppose so.
All could happen.
I suppose so.
Physically
I'm on
possible.
Roger Moore's side on this. I think. This is the thing that I think like these later Bond movies are sort of learning, like losing. I mean, is that Bond does need a level of panache. You know, he's not just a brute. He's a brute that is trying to hide his brutishness, you know? And so he needs to have a bit more charm, a little more, you know, it's like that's what separates somebody like Bond from somebody like a John McClane or whatever, you know?
Sure, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, after he kicked him off the cliff, he said he had no head for heights. How about that?
Well, that's sure is something.
So then we cut to some divers going around some ancient Greek ruins in the water. And they're like lifting things up and looking. And one diver's like super hot. And she's sucking up sand around this ancient site. And then she sees Bond. And she's like, oh. And she takes off her breathing apparatus and swims up. It's Melinda. I had no idea who she was.
Right.
First time I saw her.
Some lady.
So then he's talking to her about like where St. George's sink, which is I think where the MacGuffin is.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, the temple was a front. Christodos killed your father because he didn't want him to find the St. George's before he did.
Oh.
He wants to find it first because he wants to get the MacGuffin.
Right.
And we learned, did you meet this bird ever? Because there was there's a parrot.
Yeah, the parrot. Yeah. I mentioned before that her dad had a talking parrot.
Okay, talking parrot.
Yeah.
Well, Bond meets it.
Talking parrot.
And repeats everything they say.
For
the last 30 years.
The last 30 years.
So they're going to check the logs of the boats. And he can't read it. It's all shorthand. But luckily, she could decipher it. So she starts reading the logs. Right before they saw the wreck, they kind of figure out where it is. And they're like, okay. So this is probably where the wreck is. It's so deep. We need helium and oxygen mixture.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, well, we got a little Neptune, which is a two-man submarine that we can swim down and see what's in this wreck. We can figure out what's in the wreck with this.
Got it.
This weird mixture of oxygen and helium, which I didn't know you can mix those two together. And that's how I left us. That's how I left us. I'm James Bond.
That's what how Bond sounds?
Yeah.
My name is Bond. James Bond. Chicken, let's go. Best money, please. Your mouth's the perfect size for me. The pussy.
All right, so they find the St. George wreck. The music's big band here. That's when I first really noticed that. Like, a football team's going to show up. No, it's just a Neptune submarine, which looks very cool. It's a cool submarine.
Yeah, it is a cool submarine.
They said they got 8 minutes to work with the helium oxygen mix.
Because it's pretty deep.
They're going to run out. Yeah.
Got it. Okay.
So, cut to the evil boat above them. Oh, we have a visitor below. I guess it's Christoph's and he fucking found them.
Sure.
And then Bond says, only speak when's necessary since we have so little oxygen. So they get in there and they start walking around and they get these wild ass suits. There's a hole in the ship. So they jump in the ship and a shark appears and swims out. Mm-hmm. And Bond says, I hope he was dining alone. And I'm like, That's not necessary. You want me to make a quip? What are you doing? Anyway, they see a bunch of dead bodies
in
there.
Bullshit, dude. That makes it feel like these things he's saying are like he's unable to control it. Yeah, you know, it's like it's a tick.
Yeah, it's like when he's nervous.
That was such bullshit.
You know, people laugh when they're nervous. He quips when he's nervous.
Yeah.
So they see dead bodies. She's a little shocked, and he's like, "You want to go back?" She's like, "No, I'll keep going." And which is funny because she fucking shoots people with crossbows, but whatever.
Yeah.
So then they find the MacGuffin, but it's like all hooked up to the self-destruct thing. So they read the instructions, cut the wires. They cut the wires and everything. But then we see first person of someone like stalking them.
Doo-doo.
Doo-doo. They disable the machine. They get the MacGuffin and or the ATAC, if you want to actually be specific.
That's fine.
And then they turn around. They see this crazy looking diving suit. And it's actually mentioned, we saw the suit earlier actually in the warehouse with the opium barrels. And he made a comment that's like, it's a really intense diving suit. Well, some guy has it right now.
Oh.
Which is weird because they blew up that one. But maybe this is the second
one. Maybe it's another one. Yeah.
And it's just big robot, like got big claw arms. It's like, it's really insanely big.
Does it kind of look like the thing from Aliens? The kinda. One that she's in, yeah, with the big claw arms? Yeah.
A little bit. And she knocks over, or he knocks over, the suit guy knocks over James Bond, excuse me. And he falls over.
He's gonna run out of oxygen.
Well, almost. But then he fucking actually pins her, Belinda, against the wall.
Mm.
And then, like, causing her suit to start leaking. She starts getting a leak.
Oh, no.
And Bond then uses the same bomb, I think, that was going to explode the ATAC. He puts the bomb on the guy who now has the MacGuffin. He's stolen the MacGuffin.
Right.
The ATAC. And then Bond just starts punching him, trying to break his suit. But then the evil guy smashes James Bond over the head and tries to, like, cut his fingers. He gets his arm, though. He uses his, like, mechanical, like, grippy arms to, like, cut him and, like, start making him bleed. And I'm like, oh, shit, sharks.
All right.
But Bond slips away just in time from all this fighting he was about ready to lose with a bomb was about to... And the bomb goes off and blows up the guy. And then they get fucking sent flying out the hull of the ship.
Mm.
But make it to the sun. They live. She gets some of that good pure oxygen.
So the attack is destroyed?
No, he gets the ATAC just in time.
Got it.
He has the ATAC.
Got it.
You're right. I did not mention that. So,
it's fine.
Annoyingly, an evil personal sub comes up with it causes all this trouble. Well, they're trying to like start up the sub to get going, and an evil sub shows up and starts poking at him. Starts like using its like weird arms to like break apart parts of the sub.
Right.
And so there's like bits laying everywhere, and they're starting to like have all these alarms go off. And he starts eventually getting a drill, grabs onto the sub, and just starts drilling into the sub,
pretty cool.
The front of it, to try to break. Yeah, it's actually pretty cool. But Bond, he's like, get the fucking thing going. And he gets the thing going, and he jams the sub right into the hole of the wreckage where there was where they went in earlier. And it looks like he gets them stuck enough, and they break off from that sub. And I'm like, oh, this guy's got to be dead because like his sub can't leave. He's just gonna die here. But he eventually escapes.
Right.
Nothing ever happens to him. I guess he just leaves.
Oh, all right.
So Bond's driving back. He almost hits some ruins, and Melinda's like, careful, James. They're over 5,000 years old. I've never seen a more tired looking guy.
I know, right?
He's just like, fuck, whatever.
What am I supposed to do?
What am I supposed to do? I'm just driving this fucking boat thing here. So then he finally gets to the surface and they get on their boat. And of course, oh man, I wrote his name all wrong. Okay. Christoph. Christos is there.
I wrote
Havelock because that's her last name because she said you murdered Havelock. And I thought that was you murdered Havelock, like you murderer.
You murderer. Havelock.
But she's saying you murdered Havelock, my dad.
Got it. I didn't realize that was her dad.
So I mistook that the whole time. I wrote Havelock all over the place. But it's Christoph.
It's dangerous about this, isn't it?
Christos. I think we're saying his name wrong.
Whatever. It doesn't fucking matter. Villain.
Christophus.
Bad guy.
Bad guy. Greek Eris. Bad guy.
Yeah.
Eris. They take her hostage. They take him hostage. They like fucking be creepy and cut her with a knife.
Is pretty creepy.
And then he's like, we got to meet with the KGB. They tie them both up and she calls him a murderer. And then they get sent behind the boat as they get drug off into the evil guy's boat. They get drugged behind the boat with a buoy between the boat and the buoy, and then there's them in the back.
A baba buoy.
And they're getting drug around, and they're hitting, like, coral and shit, and it's kind of scary. It's like...
That's dangerous.
Yeah, they're driving around, just, like, all he's doing is torturing them. They let him drive around.
That's pretty good torture.
Get hit by coral.
Yeah.
Sharks start being ooh, interesting.
Because there's blood, probably.
Yeah, and they're still alive, and he always goes, like, turn around, we go again. But, like, Bond uses, like, a little bit of a rock to start cutting the fibers on his, like, wrists that were binding his wrists together, and he gets his hands free. And then they go around, they do another round of getting beat up. Sharks are getting hungry. But then eventually Bond uses that time while they're like taking a little break before going again to wrap the entire rope around this big ass rock in the underwater.
Why?
And they start, because they start driving again, but the rock is pulling the boat back.
Got it.
And eventually it rips and the buoy launches and hits one of the henchmen in the head and knocks him off.
That's pretty awesome.
And the sharks immediately are like, oh, fucking this guy. They don't eat our protagonist.
He's way more delicious.
He's way more tasty. I love the evil ones.
Yeah.
But it's really funny because Christoph's like looks down at the water and is just like,
I'll leave him.
With the same energy you say when you like you see a piece of candy fall in between the like your couch.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
You're like, ah, whatever. I'll get that one later. Yeah. Whatever. So, so she left her tank earlier when they first met, and I had no idea why she did this. She he had a tank full of oxygen and went up with it, but she left hers. They find it again in the same ruins, and they use it to hide underwater.
Eventually,
when everything's clear, they get back on the boat because
pretty clever.
Christoph's like, whatever, the fucking sharks got him.
Melinda's a pretty clever lady.
I like Melinda a lot. She's really
nice.
Cool.
She's cool. She's definitely a better Bond girl than previous.
Most of them. Yeah. So, yeah, so the parrots over there, and they say, they're like, damn, we lost it. We're never going to be able to find this again. But luckily, the parrot says, Atactus Atrillus, Atactus Atrillus, because they were discussing all these plans
on the same boat. They hear it, yeah.
And so the parrot repeats them all, and they know exactly where to go, which is, I think, a really funny way to...
Pretty clever.
...cut the tension of them being really sad and not knowing where to go. So Bond goes to the church, and Q is at the church... with a full-on fucking beard, and he pulls his beard off in the confession booth and talks to James Bond. I'm like, why are we doing this?
The beard?
I don't know. Why do you need a beard? It's a confession booth.
Yeah. It's supposed to be anonymous.
He's like, how are you going to do this? And Bond's like, I have contacts who know where I'll be. And I'm like, why do you even talk to Q? Q doesn't know anything.
That's a little Q is just like a guy in the field now. Like, this doesn't feel like it should be in his purview.
He does go in the field a lot.
Like, I don't know. He's an inventor.
But like, why here, though? He doesn't have any gadgets. He's not like
That's
Bond.
That's what I'm saying.
Bond, here's a secret service weapon.
Usually he's out there trying to give like stuff to him. He's not doing
that.
Here's
your
favorite
cast you saw earlier. You thought it was be handy, so I'm giving it to you. You made one comment about this gadget, so I thought you'd like it.
Yeah.
So here you go.
That's fine.
So he goes to Columbo, and he travels with them and Melinda and a couple of Columbo's buddies.
Right.
And they find this incredible, massive monastery on top of a mountain where the only way to get up to it is by going like a little basket that you get welded up. It's like, it's not even on top of a mountain. It's like on top of like, it's like beyond a mountain, like a plateau, like it's straight up.
Whoa.
And it's just very cool looking. It looks really impressive.
I'm sure it's a beautiful matte painting.
Yeah, it's real. It's Monastery of the Holy Trinity and Mitora.
Oh,
it's a real place.
Wow.
It looked really cool. So it's this massive thing they're all hiding up in. And that's where he took over. Christoph's took this whole thing over to meet with the Russian guy to give the ATAC.
Got it.
And they're like, we're only 5 men and 1 woman. How are we going to do this? And James is like, I'll go in alone. It'll be a surprise. And she's like, all right. And she pulls out her crossbow. And I'm like, damn, what a badass. So then we meet fucking Bibby again. And I have no idea who this person is. Remember Bibby?
Yeah. No, yeah. She also is, I don't know what the timeline is. It probably doesn't really work out. But she also reminds me a lot of like Tonya Harding a little bit.
Yeah, she does. Because she's ice skating, right?
Yeah, she's ice skater. She's blonde.
So we cut to her doing training and Christoph's comes in and is like, "We're going to Cuba." And she's like, "I want to go to Cuba. I want to win the gold medal." And he says, I know that's what we want. She says, "I know what you want, but you're too old for me.
Ooh.
I'm splitting." And she has a trainer with her.
Yeah.
And the trainer is like just standing there. And Christoph's like, "Your trainer has poisoned you against me." And Bibby's like, "Shut up." And
shut up.
the trainer goes with Bibby. He's like, "You're really young. You got to find it. You got to really keep finding a sponsor."
Oh, so the trainer's actually a cool person.
Yeah, she's cool.
Oh, and I didn't realize that.
You got to find a new sponsor. And she's like, I'll find a new one because this guy sucks.
My first instinct, her having an accent should have.
She does have that very stern look.
Yeah.
So I could see how you could think she's maybe going to be a bad person. But no.
She's cool.
She's hanging out being a cool person. So Bond then just fucking straight up scales this side of a cliff, like cliffhanger style. Like it's just straight up.
Right.
Using climbing equipment, which apparently Roger Moore, since, you know, he's afraid of heights, he said started doing moderate drinking to do this scene.
Oh, I'm terrified of heights. I know what'll make me feel better.
Drinking.
Drinking while high up.
Yeah. I'm sure there's more safety stuff that we see, but yeah, it looks very scary.
Yeah.
He gets up there. He finds a dove. The dove flies away, and it's the bad guys kind of look over the edge. They're like,
Why'd that dove fly?
Why'd the dove fly around? Okay, and then go back.
That was suspicious.
Bond eventually gets to the top, and he's been putting little, I don't know what these things are called, but they basically put them in like crooks in the...
In the rock work
yeah. To kind of stabilize, you know,
right.
Kind of keep yourself. So if you fall, you got to...
That free solo shit.
Exactly. So Bond gets to the top, but then a bad guy's there, and he fucking kicks Bond off, and he falls off the cliff.
The entire way?
Far. No, a couple, like maybe like three or four of his little doohickeys that were trying to protect him.
Right.
To keep him up on the mountain, fall off.
Oh.
So he's only got one left, or like a couple left. I don't think it's just one.
Uh-huh.
And...
How's he going to get up there?
So he starts climbing back up using the strings, just climbing up the freaking thing. And the bad guy just starts climbing down now and is starting to hit the chains, the rest of the ones that Bond are up. And if he gets all of them, he's going to make Bond fall. But he gets through one and two, and Bond keeps falling down each time. This scene's really cool, by the way. Like, I'm probably not doing it justice, but, like, it is
it's
really...
It's hard to describe it,
these sorts
of scenes.
It's hard to describe,
scenes,
like,
yeah.
How cool the scene is and how very long
tense.
It lasts. It's very tense. And eventually, though, by the last one, he's starting to punch the final peg before Bond dies. And Bond gets just high enough to throw a knife at him.
Mm.
And he throws it, and the henchman falls all the way down.
Ooh.
Falls on the ground right in front of Columbo and his buddies. And I'm like, why did this henchman alert anyone?
Why didn't he, yeah.
Why didn't he be like, hey, man, there's a guy over here climbing. We need to get him.
He thought he was going to be the one guy that was going to
get
rid of James
Bond. He was. That's what I was thinking. He's like,
yeah.
The one guy get rid of James Bond. But yeah. No, so now there's no alarms, and Bond sneaks up there.
Perfect.
Bond goes to the shed with the basket in it. There, and then he brings the basket down. And
so that everybody else can get up there.
So three folks starting getting in the basket. A lady, I don't know, Christoph or Columbo gets in it. I don't remember, but Linda does. And they start going up. And the henchman starts looking through the window. He's like, why is this thing going right now? That's weird. The basket's moving, but the door is locked. He tries like getting into it. This is very strange. So he then goes and looks at the basket while pointing a gun. And you're like, oh, she's going to shoot everyone in the basket. But then immediately Melinda shoots him right in the fucking chest.
Melinda's so fucking cool, dude. Yeah.
He's not, he doesn't fall or die. They bring him in and they pull out his pull it out and like actually keep him alive,
right?
And they say make it stealthy, and then they bring everyone
which
up,
which is even better because now they can get information out of him rather than just like having
don't.
A corpse. Oh,
they don't.
They don't.
They know. Anyway, we cut to Christoph, and he's like, "Your general is late." He's talking to was it Eric.
Eric,
yeah, the blonde.
Yes, Eric,
jaw man.
Yes,
and
blonde
said,
jaw man.
And
is
he's
Eric.
Like, only weather will delay him, and
only weather will delay him.
Only weather will delay him. So he must have a good reason of being late, as I think what he means by that.
That makes sense.
So then they're going to leave the shop man, but eventually he's making too much noise. So then Columbo just fucking knocks him out and says, sorry. the trainer lady and Bibby are trying to escape at this point. And actually the trainer lady escapes, but then gets captured by Bond. And Bond's like, you got to tell me where Christoph is. She's like, oh, yeah, I'll tell you exactly where he is. We're trying to escape. We're getting out of here.
See? I don't know, man. I think all the ladies in this movie are actually pretty cool.
I know. I was like, this is really cool.
Yeah, I kind of dig this a lot.
And so...
Even, like, Bibby, like, throwing herself at Bond, and Bond's going like, I don't want to.
Yeah, I know, right? This is, like, probably the least problematic Bond film.
So far.
I think. I don't think there's... Nah, I think... Yeah. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Anyway. He helps him out, So he helps him out. He's like, okay, well, you tell us where we're going to go and we'll help you escape. He's like, okay. So they capture some dudes who are sleeping. I wrote, where's Brink? What have you done to her? You can go back to her, but Kristoff slaps her. Oh, they're trying to find Bibby. I think. They're trying to figure out where she is. No. Bibby comes up to Kristoff and says, where's Brink? That's the trainer's name.
Got it.
I had no idea what the trainer's name was. He says, what have you done to her? And then Kristoff like fucking slaps her and says, go back to your room.
Damn.
So then Bond fights a henchman and they have a whole fight in kind of like in the monastery itself. And he breaks into some stained glass and they fall right into their churches where
cool
Kristoff is
fuck.
And Eric is. And they do a big fight with the Russian Eric guy. He's so very strong.
Mm-hmm.
But he gets distracted by Christodos, who steals the MacGuffin.
Oh.
And Bond is like, they have a whole fight, and eventually they corner Christos at the top of the monastery.
Yes.
After they beat up Eric and all that.
And they're going to show him who's boss.
And he has him basically ready to die, because Melinda's there, and she has a fucking crossbow to him.
Yeah.
And Bond's like, let's turn him over to the police, the Greek police. She's like, no, I'm going to fucking kill him.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, two graves or whatever. You better dig two graves. Be prepared to dig them. But then right when she's like, all right, maybe I won't do it. And then Columbo fucking throws a knife and kills Kristoff right
awesome.
There immediately. So Bond takes the ATAC. And at this point, the Russian guy arrives.
Mm.
He gets in a helicopter. No. Eric guy's out of the picture. He's gone.
Got
He's dead or whatever.
Who is the Russian guy then?
The actual Russian general that they're waiting on.
The guy
on.
From before, yeah.
The guy who's actually trying to pick up the ATAC.
Yeah.
Sell it to or whatever. The guy arrives, and Bond looks at him, and he's like, whoa, where's the ATAC? And Bond just grabs it and just chucks it off the cliff, and it lands on the cliff and just explodes.
Nice.
And he says, you don't have it, and I don't have it. And the Russian guy looks at Bond and says, and just kind of like shrugs and is like, you fucking got me, and then just walks away and gets back in the helicopter and leaves. It's so good.
That's awesome.
I
love
amazing,
that
amazing ending. I'm
what
just
are
like,
you gonna do?
I ain't gonna kill you now. See ya.
What am I gonna kill you over?
We both
Bye,
don't
everybody.
Have
it. It was, you know, my, is there a bathroom here? I've been in that fucking helicopter for like 2 days.
I guess I go right back up there.
Right,
I just pee over the ocean or whatever.
That was nice getting to know all you fine folk.
And then we see.
Don't be strangers. Columbo
got
so fucking funny.
Columbo got beat up, but he's being resurrected back to help by Bibby and the trainer are both helping him. And Bond's like, oh, this looks like you got a new. Looks like you found a new sponsor there, Bibby.
Mm-hmm. And Columbo's like, I don't know about this.
I don't know about this, but I don't know. Whatever.
What am I gonna do? It's tradition.
So then we cut to, of course, Bond is kissing Melinda.
Sure.
Which feels not earned. And I was reading that, like, apparently they were not happy with how the love story ended in this, because
it's pretty weak.
They were making a joke. They were trying to make a joke about, like, how Bond couldn't get to first base because she was so determined for revenge.
Yes, that's
which
true.
Is funny. But then in the end, it's like, okay,
well, they're
going
to wind up together. Anyway.
Wind up
it has
way.
To.
So
we have a pattern in these movies.
Exactly. So by the way, I didn't mention this,
but
the parrot. Also
yes.
likes to say, do you know some of the lines the parrot likes to say?
No.
Loves to say, give me a kiss. And so the whole movie, I'm like, I'm expecting the parrot to be like, give me a kiss. And then there's going to be like, Cliff, Melinda, Bond, or whatever.
Sure.
Well, they do something with it.
What do they do?
So he's kissing Melinda, and we see Q.
He's like, fuck me in the ass.
And he's like, well, mind if I do?
So. Holy want a cracker.
So Q's patching him in, and I'm like, oh shit, we're gonna do this.
Huh? Yeah, we always do this.
We're gonna do this thing where they're gonna find Bond making out with some lady, having some relations with a woman, and it's gonna be with like,
and they're gonna fucking like
broadcast it
to somebody. Yeah,
so here we go. All right, so they contact him. They're like, are you there? And Bond's kind of ignoring it, and Melinda says, you know what, I'd like a moonlight swim. He's like, oh, okay. And then he gets a message on a watch that says, like, come in 007. And he's like, meh. And he puts the watch next to the parrot.
Oh, nice.
And then they both get naked, and she's just says, for your eyes only.
Oh, and then that's the name of the movie.
And they both jump in the water, and they swim. And then they're like, Bond, are you there? Are you there? And he goes, Bond, Bond, Bond. They're like, all right, we got Bond. Let's patch him through. And they patch him through to
the parrot.
The parrot. They pass the parrot through
yeah.
to the Prime Minister, Margaret Thatcher.
Is it really Margaret Thatcher? Well,
it's not the real person, but it's meant
it's
to
supposed
be.
To be Margaret yeah. Thatcher.
And she's
yeah.
like, how to get to Dennis?
Hello?
Mr. Bond on the line, Prime Minister.
Ah, Mr. Bond. I wanted to call you personally and to say how pleased we all are that your mission was a success. Thank you.
Thank you.
Don't thank me, Mr. Bond. Your courage and resourcefulness are a credit to the nation. Dennis and I look forward to meeting you. Meanwhile, if there is anything I can do for you... Well, really, Mr. Bond.
Oh, my God.
I think we're having a little trouble with the line. Madam.
And the parrot just starts laughing at the watch, and they eventually throws the watch into the water. And then Q, like... gets the person who's like, that's not Bond, you idiot. And then that's the end of the movie, and then the yeah. credits start rolling, and it's just them swimming around naked, silhouetting, very tasteful.
Sure, very tasteful.
And as they swim around with naked but flippers. They got flippers. They gotta do a real swim.
Obviously.
And I'm like, the song ain't that great. And then that's the end of the movie.
It's a pretty good movie.
Yeah, I actually
liked it a lot.
I was like,
it's actually might be one of my favorites.
I was thinking that too. I was like, this movie. I was reading that like it kind of had bad reviews when it came out, but like people were reappraising it and they're like, you know what, those are actually one of the better ones.
Pretty solid. Yeah. Yeah, it's like, it looks good.
It's got
like,
some crazy stunts in it. It's kind of, but it's not too over the top. It's kind of the more serious-ish. Like it doesn't take, it's not too hokey.
Yeah.
Like besides his one-liners, like it's, and the weird Q.
The weird Q shit.
Quips,
yeah.
Like.
This is definitely where like the movies are also, like we've said this before, they're all starting to fall in like patterns, but this is really like what I remember from like the.
Early Sean Connery.
Well, what I was going to say was like the later Bonds. Like this is representative of like, you know, like the tone. The tone is now planted, you know,
yeah,
like
yeah, yeah.
Early Bonds, they're a bit more serious. They're a bit more like suave. Now it's like they can be real fucking hokey now. Like shit can get really goofy, and they like got over the top when they went to like Moonraker, and now they're pulling back a little bit.
Yeah.
I think this is sort of like where they're like, this to me feels like what Bond is always trying to attempt to hit, you know?
I think you're right.
Not like
yeah.
in quality, but in like tone, in my opinion.
No, I agree with that. Yeah. I think that's an accurate assessment. Sorry, I got to look up to see, because they usually have like the, you know, the three Bond ladies, right? One's a femme fatale.
BB is nothing.
That's the thing, is I'm like, what did BB do? So I'm looking up to see what
well, there's the lady that got run over.
Oh, there is no femme fatale. There literally is just not one marked here. Ooh. You got Melina, and then you got Lissel von Schaff. I guess she's
the lady
who
got
dies.
Run
she
over.
She gets run over. She's a sacrificial lamb. And then BB's not in there
BB's
at all.
BB's there, yeah.
She's just there as a character, I guess. Weird. But yeah, I don't know. I yeah, it's kind of fun.
Yeah,
I kind of
dug it. Honestly, I'm this glad. Might be my highest rating.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What are you going to rate it? How many bullet holes?
3.5.
I think you've rated something else 3.5.
4, then. It has to be 4 if I've rated something 3.5, which feels weird to rate this movie 4, but I really liked it a lot.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun. I liked Melinda a lot. I don't know. I think I'd give it a 4 as well. It's just like, it's weird because you're right. It's so formulaic, but it just nails every formula right.
Yeah.
Like, it's got a good
How about this?
Tone to it.
I will keep it at 3.5, but I will now be lowering every previous movie down by half a star. That's what I'm going to do.
Okay.
So
that's going to be some math for later on.
Everyone gets to worry about that. I'm not worrying about it.
Are
we
not worried about it? Okay.
Not right now. But now this movie
is. Well, I'm going to put it 3.5.
Gonna put it at 3.5?
I think it's good. I think it's about on par with some of the other ones to me.
That's
like
fair.
I like some of the hokey stuff, and the other ones a little bit more. Like this is just
sure.
But this is just a solid ass movie.
This is solid.
A solid Bond.
This works. This is a passing Bond movie.
This is a very passing Bond movie.
Yeah.
Solid, enjoyable, not boring.
The ladies aren't like stupid.
The ladies aren't stupid. Most
like,
of
BB's
them.
Dumb, BB's... but she's also fine. She can be.
Yeah,
you know?
she's the dumb character.
The
but
coach
also...
is. Cool, you know, there's a lot of like strong women characters in this movie, which is surprising.
Very surprising.
Yeah, I liked it.
Yeah,
it's good. Till Paul's in it. You know?
DePaul's
can't
in
hate it.
Yeah, and he's actually not a villain. He becomes a good guy.
He's barely a villain. He just like yells at some lady in a restaurant, but who hasn't done that?
Also, it was just so he can have an excuse to listen to that tape and see if Bond's trying to kill him.
That's true. Exactly. It was all part of the plan.
Yeah.
So yeah, I like this. I think this is a good movie. I'm actually glad we've stuck around with these Bond movies for so long because we got to one of these, you know?
That's kind of solid. Yeah. There's going to be a couple more solid ones, I imagine.
We'll see,
but we've already watched the next movie, so we can't decide if we're going to watch So You Can't.
Guys, what are your thoughts? Are we getting Bond-pilled over here? Email us. Email theotherhotpodcast.com. You can find us on Facebook or our Instagram. We're on Blue Sky. We are also on a Discord. And if you want to listen to our previous episodes, any of our previous Bond episodes or whatever, you can find them on any podcatching app. And while you're there, please leave a 5-star rating and review. We will read it in the show no matter what it says. It is not just for our eyes only. It's for everyone's ears.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, I want to mention one final thing about that last, like, crazy...
Good night, everybody.
No, no. This the monastery.
Yes,
because I think you'll like this.
I'm
excited. Well, you might not like it, but okay. So I guess apparently the monks who were actually at that monastery, because they did film in a real monastery, they were not informed, and they were very critical of the production rolling into their installations. But apparently, they had a trial at the Greek Supreme Court, and it was decided that the monks' only properties were the interior. So the exterior and surrounding landscapes were from the local government. So they could give permission. So in protest, the monks remained shut inside the monastery during the shooting and sabotaged production as much as possible.
That's pretty great.
Hanging their washings out of their windows, covering principal monastery with plastic buntings and flags to spoil the shots, and placing oil drums to prevent the film crew from landing helicopters.
I like this.
The production team solved the problem with backlighting, matte paintings, and building both a similar scenographic monastery on a nearby unoccupied rock and a monastery set in Pinewood.
I love a bunch of naughty monks.
I love monks who are fucking stand up to the system.
I love that shit. I love a bunch of monks who are like, I don't want them to fucking film here.
Get out of here. We're going to put like a bunch of barrels.
Let's all be a bunch of assholes to this film crew.
Let's be assholes to these guys.
I love that.
We're in a really cool, unique, amazing monastery on top of a freaking crazy rock thing.
Yeah.
Let's just be assholes.
We read the script. They're going to destroy our beautiful stained glass windows.
Yeah, that's messed up.
Yeah, well... Good night, everybody.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Would you guys like to discuss the movies that we talked about on the podcast, recommend movies for future episodes, or maybe even watch movies with us? Check out the Discord.
You can find the Discord on the latest episodes or on the website, theotherhalfpodcast.com. We're just hanging out chatting.
And while you're there, maybe also check out the second of the Discord, which is specifically for Ethan's streams on Twitch. You get updates as to when he goes live. Just keep up to date with us, with Ethan, the podcast, and the stream.
It's also totally okay if you just want to hang out and talk about the podcast. You could hang out there and maybe we'll see you there and watch a movie or something.
Or maybe you're like, wow, these streams are so much better, and you just totally ignore the podcast. That's also another option.
That could happen.
Why not?
The Discord is your oyster. Come join us.
The Discord is your oyster. Join it.